Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update on the expanding use of veterans courts across the state, and we'll hear from Minnesota's Airman of the Year. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
I would like to welcome home our Monticello-based 257th Military Police Company. For the past year, this unit of 120 soldiers has served alongside the Afghan National Army in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. Our MPs coached, taught, and mentored the Afghan soldiers in the northeastern part of Afghanistan. They educated their counterparts on staff procedures, understanding and applying Army doctrine, and they assisted in training plan development. I want to commend them on a job well done. The 257th MPs have displayed value and enhanced our international partnership with the Afghan National Army. They have showcased what it means to be a competent, ready force. The next step for these men and women is reintegration. They come from 73 communities throughout Minnesota. Two soldiers are from Wisconsin and one soldier is from Iowa. After a year serving together, they are now navigating their way to a new normal with their families and friends. They are getting acclimated back to their old jobs, and in some cases, they are looking for employment. My appreciation goes out to the Yellow Ribbon Networks, who are recognizing that their community members have returned. And my endless thanks goes out to the employers who are ready to hire a recently returned veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now to give us an update on veterans courts around the state is Pete Orpett, the Washington County Attorney, who has been with us in the past. Pete, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks again for having me.
How long have you been Washington County Attorney now, Pete?
Well, it's just over 2 years. I took office in the beginning of 2011.
You don't look too much worse for the wear.
No, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks.
Pete, let's talk about your service in the United States military.
I joined the Marine Corps in 1973 upon graduating from high school, and two of my best friends and I went in the Marines. Two of us ended up at the tail end of Vietnam, evacuating Saigon, Phnom Penh, and we got involved in the little battle on the island of Koh Tang in Cambodia.
And after that, you ended up in the Army Reserve. How did a Marine get to the Army Reserve, Pete?
Well, they offered me an opportunity to become an officer, what we call a zero, and I was going to take it, but then I got accepted to law school, so I had to forego going down to Fort Benning. But it was an opportunity.
So was the United States Marine Corps good training for a Washington County attorney?
Best thing I ever did in my life, Tom.
There you go. Pete, we want to talk about the veterans courts today, and you were involved in with the Hennepin County Veterans Court. As I recall, we talked about that a little over a year ago.
We did, and Mike Freeman assigned me to spearhead, along with a number of other people, putting together a Hennepin County Veterans Court after I and some others had talked to them about the first veterans court in Erie County, New York.
So what is a veterans court based on what you did at Hennepin County?
Well, in a nutshell, Tom, these days judges must ask every defendant being sentenced whether they had military service. And if they did, a judge needs to take into account services that veteran might need as part of the sentencing. Sentencing is both punishment and rehabilitation. So toward that end, instead of judges just asking by the time someone's being sentenced, we thought if we worked on it at the front end by screening these offenders when they came into court or upon arrest, we could get them the services early on. And I think that's crucial.
Now, Pete, you've been to Vietnam. I was in Vietnam. We all know that when we send our servicemen overseas and off to war, they come back and they're changed. But most of our servicemen and women come back and they can reintegrate into society and things go just fine. But a small minority of them sometimes have some problems that may or may not be related to their service in a war zone.
Well, that is true, Tom. I want to emphasize that most of us veterans come back, deal with some of the issues we might have been struggling with, but we get on with it. I know my dad did. He came back from World War II, got a job, raised 8 kids. I was fortunate. I got to school on the GI Bill, and it's been a good life.
And back in those days, we called that combat fatigue, didn't we?
We did, but... you know, having learned that and seen some folks who did get left behind in the system, we wanted some of us prosecutors wanted to find another way to deal with these guys, especially the veterans who served in combat. They didn't go in dysfunctional, and the ones that get out and get in trouble, we think we owe a duty to at least give them an opportunity to turn things around.
We're speaking with Pete Orpett, the Washington County Attorney, about veterans courts across the state. On Minnesota Military Radio. Pete, what were the goals for setting up veterans courts? What were you trying to achieve?
Well, in my office, we had 7 things. I'll go through them real quickly.
So this is the Washington County Veterans Court.
Yeah, ours in particular. A little bit different than Hennepin's, same themes. But I think the goals are the same. We wanted to reduce criminal recidivism. In other words, if we get on top of the issues that drove that person into court in the first place, that would be nice to do. We think we can nip it in the bud with the right programming.
Solve the problem so they're not back.
That's correct. Yeah. You got to address it sometime. Let's get on with it right now. The other thing is we wanted to decrease the homelessness with certain veterans, if that's one of the issues. Increase connections to eligible VA veterans who can get those services. Increase the financial stability. Decrease substance and alcohol abuse. And probably most important, improve the family relations and social support connections that these veterans can use some help with.
Pete, we're coming into the time of year where there's a number of stand-downs around the state for homeless veterans, and I'm sure you work with MACV on that, and a lot of those homeless veterans have some issues, and they've had some issues that are court-related, don't they?
Invariably, Tom, what we find is some of the homeless veterans and the veterans that end up in the criminal court system have some type of diagnosed mental health or chemical dependency issues. And if those go untreated, well, we're just going to keep seeing them again. So let's get that done right now.
So, Pete, for your Washington County Veterans Courts, who's eligible to get into the Veterans Court, and why would they want to, and what purpose is served?
Those are great questions. Unlike some of the other Veterans Courts, Tom, we narrowed our program to serve combat veterans with a diagnosed issue or chemical dependency issue, if not mental health. We want to have a program where if we offer the services and the person receives the services, we'll never see them again in a criminal court. So we narrowed it to returning combat veterans generally. We'll make some exceptions, but generally that's it. And before they're allowed into our program, we have them go out to the VA to be screened. So we know that there's something wrong that we can treat.
So this might have been traumatic brain injury, PTSD, some kind of mental disorder, maybe alcoholism. Some issue that came up that may or may not have arisen from their service to the country.
Well, you know, if I generalize, Tom, with the veterans we see in our program, it's, I don't mean to make big generalizations, but we'll get a veteran who served in combat, comes home, maybe he can't find a job, he's got trouble reintegrating with his wife and kids perhaps, and what do? They start drinking. And the drinking is going to cause problems, sometimes a DWI, sometimes domestic incidents. And when we send them out to the VA, they've got post-traumatic stress, they've got chemical dependency issues. We invite them to follow a treatment program. And if they do, we give them some pretty strong incentives that, you know, we can get square with them, no criminal conviction if it's a lower level crime. And so something's in it for them and a lot's in it for us.
So, Pete, if someone's accepted into the program and say they had a DWI and they've met with the VA, your sentence or their what they have to do is very specific. Are they assigned a mentor and they have to go to treatment and they have to do a number of things? And if they do that, which is not a short-term thing, it's a long-term thing, I would assume.
Yes.
Then they're out of the system that might have caught them with the civilian system.
That's correct. Now, we can't do a lot for the DWI because Commissioner of Public Safety keeps those records. I can't make a DWI go away. But instead of 30 days jail, we can trade that jail time for some programming and treatment at the VA. And it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Frankly, I've thought about it and said, geez, a lot of these guys would do better off opting out to just take their lumps in court, play a Monopoly for a couple days in jail and be done. What we're asking them to do is go through a long-term program where they make the commitment to change, they make the commitment to do the programming, to work with our mentors, and at the end, we will give them those incentives and not coming out with a criminal conviction or not coming out with having served a bunch of jail time.
So really, you want to get to the bottom of it, find out what caused the problem, help them cure it, so they're not back into the system ever again.
That is what we hope to do, Tom, yes.
Pete, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a specific instance, and you've brought a guest with you, so we'll get to that. We're speaking with Pete Orpert, Washington County Attorney, about veterans' courts. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Pete Orpert, the Washington County Attorney, about the veterans' courts in Minnesota. Pete, can you give us just a one-minute synopsis? Veterans' courts, what are they again?
They're a court set up to deal with, in my case, returning combat vets who have a diagnosed issue that we can trace back to their service in combat, and we set up incentives for them to get the programming and treatment so they can get back into society and back in with their families.
And as you said, this isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card for the vets. It's just some prosecutors, a judge, defenders, all veterans trying to find out what caused the problem and how can we cure it so that we don't keep you in a system or get you in a system that you stay in.
That's right, Tom. If someone thinks it's a way to skate out of being held accountable for their crime, I would disagree strongly. Rather, it's give these veterans incentives to go through some sometimes very long-term and arduous programming, mental health, chemical dependency, so we can get them back into society and keep them out of our criminal justice system.
Now, Pete, you brought a guest with you today, one of our veterans who's involved in the veterans court system on the wrong side of it, but his name's Jeff Peterson. Jeff, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Now, Jeff, you were in the military. Tell me about your military career.
I was. I joined the Army active duty in 2002, just after 9/11. I was stationed in Europe in an active duty infantry unit. In 2005, I was deployed to Afghanistan with Southern European Task Force out of Italy. I came home and joined the reserves later in 2005, where I was in a training unit out of Fort McCoy, Wisconsin. We basically prepped soldiers, trained them weapon tactics, ran ranges prior to their deployments to Afghanistan or Iraq.
Jeff, tell me a little more about your deployment. What was it like day to day? Were you out in the thick of it?
Yeah, we did daily and nightly patrols. I was stationed in Camp Phoenix out of Kabul, and we were there mainly for the presidential elections in 2005 and the security for the polling booths there. If you remember, the people with the purple thumbs, every time they voted, they got dye on their thumbs because the identification process over there isn't that great.
So those patrols had to be pretty intense.
Yeah, they were. A lot of times we'd found ourselves up in the mountains. We made a lot of trips out to Sarobi towards Pakistan. And at times we had conflicts. So
each day you got up and being in a combat tour and on a combat patrol, you had your wits about you, and it was real intense every day, wasn't it?
Yep, and we were well trained. It's amazing how you can fall back on muscle memory after you do a lot of training. But a lot of us live through it, make it home. So
how do you think that deployment affected you?
Well, when I got back home to the United States, it was I was kind of used to living a very chaotic, routine, high-paced lifestyle in the military. And when I came home, things came kind of slow, and I developed some poor habits that I ended up bringing back with me, and I kind of kept that chaotic lifestyle going.
And then you got in trouble one day.
Yep, I'm one of those stubborn few veterans that ended up getting in trouble, and I have been in veterans court, and it's an excellent process. So,
did you feel like veterans court, the people that were involved there, understood you or tried to understand you as a veteran and your service and your deployment?
Absolutely. After the screening process, they kind of look at your background. They accept you into the court. A veteran in veterans court is going to see camaraderie. They're going to see the partnership with the VA hospital and the county, and they're going to see that there's help there for them if they want to turn themselves around.
So they were trying to find out what was the root problem and figure out a path so that you could solve that and not get in any trouble in the future.
Right, yep.
Pete, about the time Jeff was picked up in this program and gone into it, what are the steps? How does that all work for the veteran and for you in Washington County?
Well, Tom, facing the goal as prosecutors is to do the right thing to the right person at the right time. So when we get, the first thing we have to do is screen these folks so that we can give them the incentive. So we collaborated with law enforcement that they'll inquire upon arrest of someone. We make sure when they go to jail and they're getting booked that one of the questions is, did you serve? We have our public defenders partnered with us that when they interview potential clients in jail, they ask them, were you a veteran? And if it looks like someone would at least on its surface be a candidate, then they fill out, we're asking them to fill out an application, release them from jail, send them out to the VA to be screened for the help that they might need. And then we staff the thing with about five of us from our office and a member of the Justice Outreach Program at the Veterans Administration.
We're speaking with Pete Orpett, Washington County Attorney, and Jeff Peterson about the Veterans Courts in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Pete, where does the VA come into here? You have to determine that there was some issue that needed to be resolved in order to prevent folks like Jeff from being back in the system again.
Well, that's right. What we need to do is target the right people. So we want to make sure we don't get any malingerers or people who didn't really serve or anybody like that. The VA comes to us almost immediately and helps us with the screening process. They can verify criminal records, and they can set up the appointments for that veteran to get screened, be it psychological problems, chemical dependency problems, or a lot of times both, as well as PTSD and traumatic brain injury. Then they put together a treatment plan, and we offer that to the veteran in court, assuming that everything else works. And if they accept it, then we set down the conditions. When it's the right time, we pair them up with a mentor, and we get some ongoing court dates. I will tell you, though, Tom, there have been a few, sad to say, that don't comply with the program. And if they don't comply strictly, out they go, because criminal courts are always available for those who want to go through that route.
So when they get a plan, they have to stick to the plan or back out and start all over.
Yep. They make a commitment and we make a commitment. And if they breach a commitment, they can go in the other door like all the other knuckleheads that we see going through criminal court.
So, Jeff, the VA and the Veterans Court put together a plan for you, and it wasn't a short-term plan, I'm assuming.
No, it's a long process, and you got to be dedicated to it. Sure, it'd be easy to go spend a week in jail or something like that, but it's not going to benefit a veteran whatsoever by doing jail time and being released.
So do you feel that you're benefiting from this program? Are you getting better? Are you understanding yourself better and what causes you to do things you do?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to, speak on behalf of veterans and Veterans Court. And, I think in years to come, we're going to see other counties in the state that branch out and start doing this as well.
So you're all in favor of the Veterans Court?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Pete, we've got a few more questions we should get to. In Washington County, you're limiting this to combat veterans. Is there a reason for that?
Well, what we want to do is treat the symptoms that got the offender into court in the first place. And for the veterans, the idea is a lot of these, no, some of these veterans, not a lot. As a matter of fact, most of the veterans we don't see. But those who we do, we want to help them. So the theory is they didn't go into the service a miscreant, and they're only in criminal court because they're not dealing with the issues that they may have gotten, say, post-traumatic stress from their combat. We want to treat that so we never see them again.
So for some of our veterans, it might just be a momentarily one bad decision for some reason that could be related to a deployment or to PTSD or whatever, and it's an opportunity to cure that.
That's right. The whole idea is if we can get them fixed, we'll never see them again in criminal court, and hopefully they'll be back with their family, working, paying taxes, just like the rest of us.
So, Pete, what do you say to the people that might think that you're setting up a two-tier court system and that you're giving special treatment to veterans?
Well, it is special treatment, but it's the right treatment. We're trying to make available to them incentives to get them to turn their lives around. We do that with other offenders, Tom. This is just narrowly tailored to the issues that I think are common among combat veterans, and we know now that we have some programming that can fix them. I tell these guys all the time, I can't make you weigh 500 pounds, but I can give you a lot of incentives to work through and do that hard programming so that you can come out and, you know, have a good life the rest of your life.
Jeff, I want to thank you for stopping by the station today and so bravely sharing your story. I hope the rest of your life goes fantastic.
Thanks, Tom.
Pete, final thoughts about the Veterans Court system?
I just appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. Like Jeff said, he hopes that it's growing throughout the state. We've had a number of county attorneys take interest, Carver County, Anoka County, Ramsey County. John Choi there is about to roll out a super program for those combat vets, too. I think it's really growing.
Pete, you're doing a great job over there in Washington County. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm grateful.
This is Pete Orpett, Washington County Attorney, and Jeff Peterson talking about the Veterans Court systems in Minnesota. In a moment, we'll be back and we'll hear from Minnesota's Airman of the Year on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Fellow veterans and supporters, this is Lee Alfords, Department Commander of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars, inviting you to join us for a ride for healing starting next Memorial Day. The week-long ride kicks off May 27th in St. Paul, covers the four corners of the state, and is capped off by a June 1st rally weekend in the Brainerd Lakes area. Proceeds will support the National Vietnam Veterans Memorial Education Center. For more information, visit rideforhealing.com. That's rideforhealing.com.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll hear from Minnesota's Airman of the Year. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
The Veterans Woodshop at our Hastings Veterans Homes provides a therapeutic working environment that allows our veterans to learn and excel in the woodworking trade. The Veterans Workshop produces high-quality and individually handcrafted flag and memorabilia cases, plaques, signs, picture frames, and many other specialty items. Public support for the Veterans Workshops enable these programs to continue and, more importantly, improve the quality of life for the veterans we serve. These individually crafted items made by veterans are available for purchase by the general public. In order to place an order or to find out more, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now from the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing in St. Paul are three NCOs who have each won awards recently. First, we have Master Sergeant Ryan Fenton. Ryan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
And then we have Master Sergeant Jessica Todd. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
And we have Tech Sergeant Ashley Ingvalson.
That's right. Thanks.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We're going to start with you, Sergeant Fenton. I understand you just recently got back from a deployment.
Yes, sir. Just came back. I've been home now a little over 8 months. I did a four-month tour in Afghanistan and then also in Kuwait.
And how long have you been in the service?
I've been in almost 18 years, 18 years in August.
You look pretty good for 18 years.
Thank you.
Spent a little time in the Army, did you?
Yes, sir. I spent 3 years active duty Army and then 2 years in the Army National Guard with Red Bulls. And then now the last 13 with Airlift Wing.
Finally came over to the Air Force.
I did get smart, sir. You bet.
Well, I'm feeling more comfortable in the studio, more and more comfortable every day. We're going to talk to Master Sergeant Todd. Sergeant Todd, how long have you been in the military?
16 years.
16 years. Have you loved every one of them?
I have. I was a traditional member, just UTAs and annual training for 10 and a half years, and then was lucky enough to be able to secure a position full time.
And I understand your husband's in the Guard as well.
He is. He's a loadmaster.
And that means he's gone quite often, doesn't it?
He is. He's deployed many times, and I feel like I can see that full perspective as a spouse besides being a member of the military as well.
Pretty tough on the family when he's gone?
It can be, yes. But, you know, just keep reaffirming the importance of securing a future of freedom for the next generation. I'm trying to instill that into my daughter and how important that is.
They tell me now that less than 1% of the population of the United States serves in the military. But it's an all-volunteer force and quite different than it was 40 years ago when the draft was on in Vietnam. Everyone I've met that's in the Minnesota National Guard, first-class folks, they're well-trained. They're ready, aren't they?
Absolutely. We have an incredible force of adept professionals who have a wide variety of experience. You know, they're members of the community that are your coworkers that volunteer alongside you or ship with you and give a lot back to the communities. We're very lucky to be a part of such an amazing team.
And the third member of the 133rd with us is Tech Sergeant Ashley Engelson. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Didn't think you'd have to sit there that long without talking, did you?
I was thinking you're just going to breeze over me.
No. We won't get to that. How long have you been in the military?
Just 10 years. Yep. It'll be 11 in August. So.
All with the Minnesota Air National Guard?
Nope. I actually started in Wisconsin. I was a traditional member there. Yep. In Volk Field. 7 years in finance. And then I moved up and worked downtown for a year full time, and then moved out to the Guard or out to the wing 2 years ago in communications.
And I understand you've been deployed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I actually just got back in January from Qatar. So I was there for 3 months.
Doesn't sound like very tough duty.
Oh, it was. I mean, 12-hour days, and yeah, it was my first deployment experience, and it was very positive, but yeah, it was an interesting experience.
And you work in communications?
I do. Yep. I'm in the help desk.
The help desk.
Yep.
Computers.
Computers, yes. So if your computer doesn't work, I'm the number that you call.
and for sure you'll get it fixed.
For sure I'll get it fixed. I'll try my best. I actually just switched into the position about a month ago back from my deployment. So, yeah, we have a great crew. Everyone is just really awesome to work with, so we work well together. So if I'm not quite sure, someone's there to help me out.
And just like civilian life today, you can't do anything without computers today.
That's right. Absolutely.
So do you get a lot of calls?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're busy.
What type of things happen?
Oh, they can't log on to their computer, or they can't access an internet site. Lots of different things. You name it, and we get a call for it.
How much help do you have? How many people are in your section?
Full-time, we have about, I think, 12 or 13, but it's currently just myself, and then I have an outstanding airman that's helping me get trained in. So it's basically us two that field the calls, and then we route it to the different teams. Like, we have a printer team and phone team, so the different specialized area. But I try to help troubleshoot as much as I can.
Is cybersecurity come under what you do?
You know, we all try to, you know, practice good cybersecurity and good OPSEC, all of that. But we don't generally do a whole lot of cybersecurity.
But it's on your mind all the time.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely it is.
Sergeant Fenton, I understand that the Minnesota Air National Guard has a series of awards they give out each year. Can you tell me about that?
Well, the award that we have won is for different NCOs. You win an award to represent the airlift wing. And then from there you go on to the state level and you actually compete against members from the Duluth Fighter Wing. So members here have been selected for outstanding airmen from the 133rd, and we go out, and I've actually been chosen, selected as the first sergeant of the year, and that has been giving me a few opportunities. I've been able to go to a Timberwolves game and be recognized as hero of the game, and I've also been involved in a Vikings practice and also the flag detail for the veterans game at the Metrodome when the Vikings played the Lions. So it's been a fun experience. I've done a lot of different things, since I've won the award, and it's been rewarding and fulfilling. So I've really enjoyed my time, and I'm glad I get to represent the 133rd and all the wonderful airmen out there.
How did you feel at the Timberwolves game, hero of the game? Was that a little awkward?
It was. It was overwhelming a little bit. I kind of got into a cycle where I was doing Vikings and Timberwolves, and so it was fun. They brought me out before the game and honored me and gave me a jersey. So it was a wonderful experience. They got to bring my family out. So my son and my daughter and my wife were there in the stands. And so it was my son got to meet a bunch of the players. So he loved it. He got to meet Kevin Love and Derek Williams and Luke Ridenour and got his picture taken. And, he had a blast.
He didn't care about the award. He just wanted to meet the Timberwolves.
There's two things he was worried about, dad's jersey and getting some autographs. So, yeah, he was pretty pumped about that.
Well, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to learn about some more awards that were given out to these three NCOs from the 133rd Airlift Wing to the Minnesota National Guard that are with us today. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Major General Rick Nash, Minnesota's Adjutant General, encouraging you to hire today's veterans. Today's veterans have a track record of integrity and have triumph over adversity. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Hiring a service member just makes sense. Veterans have the training, work ethic, and proven skills that will immediately add value to your business. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran. Visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined today by three NCOs from the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing. And Sergeant Fenton, we were talking you did win an award, but you didn't tell me exactly what was that, a First Sergeant's Award?
Yes, sir. First Sergeant of the Year Award.
Does that mean that you're the best First Sergeant in the outfit?
If you ask everyone in my unit, they'll probably might agree with you, but...
We hope so.
Exactly.
And you've had some fun with it, being able to...
Yes,
go to
sir.
A few
yeah,
events.
I've had a lot of opportunities, so it's been fun.
And Sergeant Todd, what award did you win?
The State Senior NCO of the Year.
State Senior mm-hmm. NCO of the Year. So...
A lot of
who decides who wins these awards?
That's a good question.
Sergeant Fenton, do you have any idea?
Ooh, I do not. I know it goes. There's plenty of boards that decide, so it goes to the state level. I don't know who's actually involved.
Peer review or officers or don't know.
Don't know.
We're going to have to research that and report back on that one.
It's probably a good thing we don't know.
Certainly, a lot of hard work goes into it, but taking advantage of the many opportunities that are available, whether it's taking advantage of extra duty and learning opportunities. But you know, I feel for myself that I wish everybody that's brought me to this point could be with me in accepting the award. I mean, through the years there have been hundreds of mentors and coaches, counselors and supporters who have prepared me for the opportunities. And one of those opportunities was taking a part in helping put together our mentorship program in the state, being part of a working group, not only surveying, but also helping put together some of the resources and tools. And I'm very excited about the program. It definitely shows the leadership focus on mentorship and how important it is for everybody in the unit.
Sergeant Todd, I think a lot of our listeners might not be aware, but in the Minnesota National Guard, you're constantly training, you're constantly taking new courses, you're constantly learning things. It's not just about military, but it's a lot of management and a lot of HR and a lot of things that... how many courses do you think you've taken in your career?
Some of them have been year after year after year, and certainly, I mean, the wide variety of skills, not only with the courses to where... You know CPR, you know basic life-saving skills, but then all the opportunities to take on programs where you're put in a leadership role, where you're publicly speaking, you know, there are a wide variety of skills that you get to work on in the Minnesota National Guard.
And more experience every year.
Absolutely.
Now, do I understand right, you're in HR now?
Yes.
And how do you like that?
I love it. I've had the opportunity to help out some of our full-time members, and you know, you can't put a price on anything like that. When you know you have made a difference, it just feels good.
It's a great group of people out at the 133rd, isn't it?
Tremendous.
Sergeant Engelson, what award did you win?
I won NCO of the year in the NCO, Airman of the Year in the NCO category.
Then what did you do to earn that?
Oh, you know, I think I just was given a lot of good opportunities by my leadership to, you know, like Sergeant Todd said, take advantage of extra duties, learn different job-related tasks, and just be able to really excel at the job that I'm training to do. So I think the leaders that I had and then the coworkers that I had, we all, I mean, I couldn't have obviously done it all without them. I just work really well with everyone, and just the opportunities I was given was just, it was just amazing.
When we think of the 133rd in the Minnesota Air National Guard, we think about the C-130s up there and the pilots and the loadmasters and all of that, but it takes a lot of ground support personnel to get every one of those airplanes flying, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. It absolutely does, yes.
And I'm constantly amazed that the readiness status of the Minnesota National Guard is incredible, and it sounds like it's way beyond a lot of the other states.
Well, I just think the group that we have, and especially coming, you know, from another unit and seeing that, the caliber of people, I think the people that we have are, they're just top notch. Everyone is willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done, work well together, you know, help everyone out. I just think, yeah, it's a great organization. I'm so, so proud to be a part of it.
And what would you tell our listeners if they're thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard?
Absolutely do it. I think it's honestly, joining the Guard is the best decision I've ever made. It's afforded me so many opportunities, you know, helped me get through college. I've been able to deploy. I've been traveling. I traveled to Europe. I've traveled stateside. You meet just the best people. You get to network with people who do your jobs in other states and meet them and work with them. And it's just been amazing. And it's an amazing feeling to be able to give back as well. So I feel like I get so much out of it, but I also feel like I can give back, and it's very rewarding.
Well, I want to congratulate all three of you on winning these awards and come back to you for a second. Sergeant Fenton, we've just got a couple of minutes left. What's the future hold for you and the 133rd?
As a first sergeant, you are work on a three-year enlistment. So I'm in the middle of my first three-year enlistment. So it's up to my commander and my command chief out the base there to see if I want to come back for another tour. So possible five more years, but could be two more years. Depends. I'll be at my 20, so that's a big decision right there. It's me. My wife will have to help me make that decision. So
you look too young to retire. Better stick with it. Sergeant Todd, congratulations on winning your award. What's the future hold for you with the Minnesota Air National Guard?
Continue to take on every opportunity and challenge and do it with the greatest effort and succeed. I certainly hope to continue to provide programs and assist the members and to make a difference, not only in the wing, but throughout the state.
It's got to be fulfilling to take part in both the state and the federal missions of the Minnesota National Guard. We're here taking care of people at home in emergencies and still deploying around the world to support our troops that are out there serving our country.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the great benefits, is not only are you there to support freedom, but you are also there to support your community, your friends, your family, and to be there when they need you the most.
And thank God we've got you all in the Minnesota Air National Guard. Sergeant Engelson, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I just feel once again, I'm just so proud to be a part of this organization, and I'm very thankful for all the support that we've received from the local community as well. Just with my recent deployment, we got a lot of care packages from a lot of wonderful, wonderful people in the schools and the private organizations. So just feel very, very blessed and privileged to be a part of it.
And for the young ladies listening, you'd highly recommend joining.
Absolutely, I would. Absolutely.
The Minnesota Air National Guard.
Minnesota Air National Guard, yes.
All right, I'd like to thank each of you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. That was Master Sergeant Ryan Fenton, Master Sergeant Jessica Todd, and Tech Sergeant Ashley Engelson. And now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Tim Leonhardt joins us. Tim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom.
Tim, we had some Minnesota National Guard members come home recently. I'm sure the Minnesota Patriot Guard was there to welcome them home.
Oh, we were, along with a lot of the folks in Monticello.
The 257th MPs?
The 257th MP. They came home, and buses went down the streets, and the streets were lined with people, and it was just awesome to see them get off the bus and go into the auditorium. And once they were dismissed, and all the happiness, and everybody meeting all the family they haven't seen for quite a while. It was just...
Were there a lot of Patriot Guard riders there that day?
There was. But the Patriot Guard riders we're just there to make sure that there's honor, dignity, and respect. And the people that are serving are the ones that are important.
Tim, as usual, I always get questions, who's eligible to be a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider? There's a misconception that it's veterans.
No, yes.
And it's people that ride motorcycles.
Yeah, that's a common one that we get a lot of, and neither one of them is true. You don't need to be a veteran. You don't need to ride a motorcycle. We do a lot of missions in the winter, and none of us are riding motorcycles.
So all they need is a vest, a pole, a flag, and a good heart.
Actually, they don't even need a vest. All they need is a flagpole, a 3x5 flag, and a heart to go along with it.
I also had a question about Fort Snelling. Are your Patriot Guard riders out there for the funerals at Fort Snelling?
We are when we're invited. We never go to a what we call a mission without an invite from the immediate family or a representative of the immediate family.
So they just have to go to mnpatriotguard.org.
Yes.
And they can figure out how to contact you.
On the left side it says invite the Patriot Guard, and just go in there, put in the information, and it'll go through our... what we call a missions team. The missions team looks at it and disseminates it out to whichever sector in the state it belongs to.
And one last thing, we're just about out of time, Tim, but you've got your annual event coming up, the Patriot Ride.
Yes.
And the website for that is thepatriotride.org, June 15th.
June 15th.
It's big doings, and you'd love to have folks come out.
We would love everybody to come out.
Tim, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have one mention today. Coming up Saturday, April 27th at 10 p.m., we have an honor flight returning the Minneapolis-St. Paul's Humphrey Terminal. This is the flight of World War II veterans from Minnesota who will be returning from a tour of the National Memorial in our nation's capital. Let's welcome them home right. That's Saturday, April 27th, 10 p.m., Minneapolis-St. Paul Humphrey Terminal baggage area. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Pete Orpett, Jeff Peterson, Jessica Todd, Ryan Fenton, Ashley Ingleson, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelato from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about Minnesota's VESE chapter of the Association of the U.S. Army, and hear the latest news from Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon team. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.